It's 7 minutes past 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. And joining me here today are the director and members of the cast of Sideshow, which opens this weekend at the Kalamazoo Civic. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Kara. Thanks for having us on.
It's nice to have you back, Jay.
I feel like I'm here once a month.
It's true. We can catch up on all the things you've been working on for the last 3 months. But let's focus first, of course, on the Sideshow, which is opening this weekend.
Yes.
This is the first I've heard of, I'm afraid.
Well, this, I believe, is the West Michigan premiere of Sideshow. And it's interesting. Our music director, Courtney Carpenter, last night, we were just talking a little bit about how excited we were to do the show, and she said that Sideshow is her unicorn, which in theatrical terms means that kind of that show that you're in love with that people don't know about, that rarely gets done and is rarely seen. And when you have a chance to do your unicorn show, you jump at it. And for me, Sideshow has been a bit of a unicorn as well. It's a really moving, beautiful story, full of comedy and life and humanity, and incredible, great music. It's written by the same composer who wrote Dreamgirls, and Henry Krieger. So it has this phenomenal score, and it's based on a true story, based on the story of Daisy and Violet Hilton, who were conjoined sisters, who were originally from England. And suffered a really difficult childhood, a lot of emotional abuse, some physical abuse. They were put on display. They were put on display in England and in Australia. They were brought to the United States. They were sold as almost into bondage into this man's possession, who then put them up as a sideshow attraction. And then they were discovered because they actually had some talent. They could sing, they could dance, and they were very pretty. And they were taken from the sideshow, and they were emancipated from this man that was controlling their lives. And they went into vaudeville. And for a period of about 6 years, they were the highest paid act in vaudeville. Higher than Mae West, Bob Hope. I mean, they were huge in vaudeville. And then after vaudeville started disintegrating and kind of the novelty of conjoined sisters as a vaudeville act had kind of lost its glow, their lives kind of went into obscurity, and they ended up really kind of living the last part of their lives in obscurity and poverty, and it's kind of a sad story. And while they were in vaudeville, they were trying to kind of maintain their fame. There were a couple of manipulated kind of publicity events. They got married, not for real. So it's a wonderful human story, really. Metaphorically about seeing people as individuals and seeing people as true human beings, and not just seeing these two women as a unit or as freaks, but as two women, two individual women with very distinct desires and passions and joys and tragedies. And the show itself opened in 1997, and Kara asked me before we started the show today, how come there was a revival just 2 years ago? How could there be a revival of a show that's relatively new? And here's what happened: the show opened and it got great reviews, but it was such an odd story and such an odd kind of topic that it didn't attract a huge audience. And as it was kind of building its audience, they closed the show. So it had a relatively short run, but it was nominated for a lot of Tony Awards. And then it's kind of had this become this kind of unicorn show that a lot of people in the industry are very interested in. And so the authors rewrote quite a bit of the show, making the revival much more historically accurate to the lives of the actual Hilton sisters.
Really?
And it was revived again. And the same thing happened. It had even better reviews than the original production, and again had a very short run. So we're thrilled to bring it here. I think one of the things that makes our production really exciting is we are doing it in the small space at the Civic, in the round, in a very intimate space. And I think that will make the story really kind of emotionally impactful for the audience, much more so than seeing it as a Broadway production. And I could not be more excited to be a part of this show with this wonderful, wonderful cast. Some of the design work on the show, the set design, costume design, lighting, it's some of the best work I've seen at the Civic ever on shows that I've done there and on any show. I mean, it's just, you walk in and our David Kyle, our set designer, It's a completely emotional experience. Just walking into the room, the set feels like an old sideshow, and it has this kind of wonderfully beautiful and somewhat dusty quality that this is just something from days gone by.
Can I ask you a real stupid question? What was a sideshow? Why is it called side? Show not we're not talking about the double.
The history of the actual sideshows in America. Sideshow was an odd kind of thing that evolved in America. It kind of was. It's part of circus, and when a circus would come to town, there would be a sideshow that was part of the circus, and it wasn't the main ring. So in the main ring, you would have elephants, and you would have a lion act, and you would have the clowns, and then you would have a sideshow, which were tents set up beside the circus that would tour with the circus. And in the sideshow, you would have novelty acts.
Right.
Really obscure things, things that you wouldn't put on the main stage in a circus. And often they would be odd human beings, like conjoined sisters or people with no arms or a bearded lady or that kind of thing. And a lot of them, they really didn't do anything. They were just, it was more of a display. You just walked in and saw oddities. And that's, to be honest, that's where P.T. Barnum started. He didn't start as a circus man. He started as kind of a displayer of oddities. And he had a museum in New York, Barnum's Museum, where he would just bring in the human mermaid or the dog boy. And you would just come in and look at them. And they were considered to be freaks, and they were put on display. And in one way, they were profoundly taken advantage of and manipulated and used. In another way, a lot of the sideshow attractions were people that really didn't have options in our society to be contributing in terms of financial gain. And so they actually lived relatively comfortable lives in the sideshow, and they created kind of their own community. And there was a movie made by Browning in the 1930s called Freaks.
Yes.
Which the Hilton sisters are actually in the movie.
You can see them there.
The actual Hilton sisters are in this film.
I was wondering, it sounded like they were very well documented.
Yeah. There's also a really wonderful documentary that it's not available in any free streaming services, but you can get it at the library, or you can buy it on Amazon if you're really interested for like $10. But it's called Joined by Flesh. And it's a phenomenal documentary, and I'm sure Allie will talk a little bit about her research for the character.
Okay. Well, first, actually, I'd like to ask Janet Gover here, who always comes along and joins these interviews as director of publicity and as a theater fan, if you could tell listeners about how they can get tickets.
Absolutely. Tickets are now on sale. You can call the box office at 269-343-1313 or online at kazoocivic.com. It's KAZOO civic.com. Happy to help you out, because we are very excited to be the first in the area to produce this show.
Is this on the main stage of the Civic or in the Carver Center?
It's in the Parish Theater, which is our...
What does that mean?
The Parish Theater is our smaller, intimate space, kitty corner from the auditorium itself. It's right on the corner of Lovell and Park Street. People have probably driven past it a zillion times if you've never been there. Glass front. There's only about 190 seats in it, so it's much more intimate than the auditorium itself. And we love to bring those shows to the Parish, especially the January musical, that may be a little bit edgier, something that may not have been done in this area before, something that might challenge our audiences a little bit, but something we think that they will love and talk about for a long time to come.
Have you seen the show before?
No, and I can't wait till Friday night.
Again, it opens Friday night, and tickets are available through the website, kazoocivic.com. Well, before we talk to members of the cast, why don't we hear the opening number of Sideshow, lyrics of Bill Russell and music of Henry Krieger.
The freak! Come look at the
huge opening number from Sideshow. This is being staged in the Parish Theater by the Kalamazoo Civic, opening on Friday. Here in the studio, I have director Jay Burkow and actors Allie Rupert and Alec Olwian, who are here to talk about their roles. And Jay, talk about casting this show.
Casting this show was a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge because the stars of the show are these two women who are conjoined twin sisters who have to sing like crazy, dance, and really be profoundly honest and emotionally vulnerable in their acting, because these are real people who have real stories to tell. And my costume designer, Kim, kept coming to the callback because she was like, Jay, I have to tell you, like, if the hips don't match, if they don't, when they're standing next to each other, if the hips don't line up, none of the costumes will work. And I was like, oh, good. Okay.
And they had to be the same height.
And there were about six women that I thought were really terrific that I called back for the two roles. And then I was just kind of mixing and matching. And to be honest, when Allie and Lindsay Powers stood together and sang together, I was like, well, there it is. There's the twins. They look pretty similar. But more than that, they sound phenomenal together. Their voices just blend in a beautiful way. And right from the beginning, they had a real kind of emotional connection. And now that the show is almost open, their emotional connection has gotten... I jokingly said, "By when we close, they're going to have separation anxiety." They've become very close, and they've spent, well, Allie talked about their process in the rehearsals, but they spent a lot of time together. So that was challenging. Alec and I have worked together before at the Civic. He was in our production of Tommy there. So I knew Alec, and I was hoping, you know, I can't remember, we got in touch with you before the show even auditioned, and I said, you know, you should come and audition for this. But then the other challenge of the show is really it's a true ensemble show. I mean, it's definitely the sister's story, but everyone in the show has a lot to do and really has to create some really interesting and dynamic characters who are very different from you or me. And so finding actors that are comfortable on stage, making choices, and then there's a lot of musical numbers. There's a lot of singing. It's almost sung through. And then there's some dancing. I did the choreography myself. There's a tap number. There's a big kind of Broadway jazz number. And then your two leading ladies, not only do they have to sing, but they have to dance while joined at the hip, literally. So that's tricky, too.
I have to admire how wonderfully lyrics and music works together in this opening with 7, 8, 10 minute segment and gets all the stories laid out, or the whole...
Yeah, sets up the whole world
in
of
just
the Sideshow.
10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's also still very, it's very in your face. I cannot wait to experience it with an audience on Friday, because the opening number just kind of comes right at you. And you know, you are put in the world of the Sideshow very immediately. And then you kind of get the story of the sisters as it kind of blossoms out of that.
Well, let me say again, details on tickets and more are at kazoocivic.com, kazoocivic.com. Well, my first question for you, Allie, is it Rupert or Rupert?
It's Rupert.
Rupert. I tried to split the difference there.
Right.
Do you have a sibling or siblings?
I have two twin brothers. They're younger than me. They're 4 years younger than me, but they are 6'3" now. So they're like my little older brothers, as I like to call them. But so I kind of can understand sibling relationship in that way. But I've never had a sister before. And so that was interesting to be with Lindsay. But it's really kind of crazy how quickly you really become like actual sisters, especially when you're spending every night literally stuck together with each other. And we've spent time out of rehearsal. We have spent the weekend together, and we've tried being stuck together at home. And like, it's just really amazing how close you can be with someone, especially doing a show.
Also sharing a musical language can also connect people beyond just conversations in a big way.
Yeah, it's really crazy. We don't even really have to like talk about how we're feeling every night. We just go on stage and you can kind of just feel it by each other, because we're always holding hands, and so like we'll give each other like an extra squeeze on the hand if we need like a little help here and there. And like just getting through all these emotional songs where we really have to kind of just not worry about what people are thinking. We just have to lay it all out there. Doing that together, it's just like, it's crazy. It's something I've never experienced before.
Did you discover this show on your own before this show was announced for the season, or is it new to you as well?
I only heard about it at the Civic announcement because I got asked to sing Who Will Love Me As I Am at the announcement there. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a cool song. I like singing it. Like, this is a fun show. I'll audition. Uh-huh. And then I found out Jay was doing it. And I was like, okay, well, I have to audition now. And, like, I just really wanted to be in it. But I really didn't know, like, the story or the background. Mm-hmm. And then so when I did get cast, I, like, cried and was so happy. Mm-hmm. And, like, then once we, like, got into the story of it and I actually did a bunch of research on the twins, then it was like, this is one of the best things I've ever heard of in my life. Like, it's
so
crazy.
So you did get really interested in your character and her real existence.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much to learn about. Like, I'm still learning things.
So which twin do you play?
I play Violet Hilton.
And the other twin is named?
Daisy Hilton.
Violet and Daisy. Mm-hmm. And personality-wise, what's she like?
Violet is a little bit more on the shyer side, I guess. She's a little bit more delicate, I would say, than compared to Daisy. Daisy's very bold and courageous and wants fame and wants to be up in the lights and everything. And Violet just kind of wants to find love and have a family and just kind of be normal. And both of them want to be normal, I guess, in society. But Daisy just wants to get there a different way than Violet, I guess.
So there have been famous conjoined twins, like, throughout history. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I think, did marry different people and mm-hmm. have families and all of that. So maybe it wasn't that crazy for Violet to think that was possible.
Yeah.
And every musical kind of needs a love story.
Right.
Is that...
We have several.
You have several. What are some of the other ways you interact with the cast, and who are the other characters?
We have a protector of the sideshow, his name is Jake, and that's played by Troy. And he is kind of, he plays the Cannibal King in the sideshow, but then outside he kind of is just the protector of Violet and Daisy. And it actually turns out that Jake is actually in love with Violet and has been for a long time. And that kind of throws a wrench in problems, because when Terry and Buddy, who are the two men that bring Violet and Daisy out of the sideshow, they come in and they discover the girls. And Terry starts to fall for Daisy, and Violet starts to fall for Buddy, and we have this, like, love rectangle thing going on. It just becomes very complicated, because everyone now has to... We're just laying all our feelings on the line, but we're in this weird situation where we're connected. And so you can't have just a normal relationship, I guess. It's always going to be something that you have to overcome.
There's Well, in every love story, there has to be a barrier.
Yeah.
That keeps
we
people
have a
apart.
Literal barrier.
So finally, I do want to hear a little about where you grew up and your interest in theater as a young person and how that developed.
Okay, well, I'm from South Haven, Michigan, so that's only like 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
I grew up there all my life, and I've kind of just, my family, my mom is a singer, and so I've kind of just been singing since I was little, and I found theater in high school and really liked it, and people told me I could sing, so I was like, sounds good. I was like, I'll do it.
I
really like
it.
Yeah.
Something I get praised for. Mm-hmm.
And I'd known Western because a lot of the MTP students came to South Haven and, like, sang with me at different places. So I was like, oh, cool, I'll go to Western. So I found Western, and I auditioned for Western and got accepted there, and now I've just been doing it here. And I've been working a lot with the Civic. For the last 2 years, I've been doing a lot of shows there. So it's been amazing. I love it.
So is it, right now, is it most important to you to just keep getting cast and being in as many things as you can?
Yeah, I just love being in shows and any chance that I can. I'm just always wanting to be in something.
When do you graduate?
2020.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, it's only 2017. You are a freshman?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to talk to Alec Olwian, who's sitting right next to you, and feel free to jump back in. But
sure.
Alec, you play Buddy in this show.
Buddy Foster.
Well, let's talk about your character.
Buddy is kind of an odd mix of confident but self-conscious. He at least the way I view him, he is kind of Terry's right-hand man. Terry goes to him. Terry is like the agent who kind of finds the girls in the sideshow at the very beginning, or in the freak show. And Buddy comes with him. Terry tries selling Buddy on the idea of the girls. And Buddy is kind of the first person he needs to convince to actually make this idea he has work. And
so your business is to find acts for the show, for the sideshows?
Yeah, essentially. That's more so, at least the way I've been looking at it in rehearsals and things, that's kind of Terry's responsibility. And it is, Terry puts the responsibility of making them into an act on Buddy's shoulders.
Oh, okay.
But Buddy is, he's a performer, just like the girls. And that's really, a large part of who he is. That's what he really wants, is to perform and to get a shot at that. Throughout the show, a bunch of things, obviously, like that goes along with any show, a bunch of things get in the way and a bunch of things, just make it more and more difficult for him to really make his big break. But the show, especially starting towards like the end of Act One, it really starts through Buddy's eyes. It really seems like it's really starting to take off, and he's very. It's so hard to explain. I have it all in my head. He's a very. It's like he's a shy extrovert almost.
Do you have a big, is it an I want number? Like you,
a song? Kind of. I have a big number in Act Two called 1+1, which I believe we're going to listen to a bit later. But he doesn't have a like an 11 o'clock number or anything.
That's true.
A lot of the music in the show, there's songs, but there's also a lot of recit music in the show that shows the character. So Buddy actually has two mm-hmm. musical scenes mm-hmm. where he reveals a lot of what's going on. Wait, I don't want to give any big spoiler alerts. There's a major plot twist that has to do with Buddy and Buddy and Violet's relationship that I don't want to give away.
Okay, we'll stop there. I will say once again, tickets are available at kazoocivic.com or 343-1313, area code 269. The number we're going to hear next, and I think we should because I've given you both a pretty good grilling, is called Ready to Play. I'd like to hear that, and then I'll learn a little more about Alex's background after that.
And this number is when Daisy and Violet are at their peak of their vaudeville fame. So this is their big, mm-hmm. This is when they are stars in vaudeville.
Music from Sideshow. We're listening to music from Sideshow with the cast and director of Sideshow, which opens this Friday at the Kalamazoo Civic in the Parish Theater. Details at kazoocivic.com. I'm with Jay Burkow, who's directing the piece. Allie Rupert, who plays Violet, one of the conjoined twins that are the stars of the show. And actor Alec Olwian, who's Buddy and one of the romantic interests and apparently helps out in a lot of other ways as well. The cast is being a little reluctant to share some plot twists.
it's hard to know exactly what not to say.
Well, Alec, let's go with something more simple and tell us about your growth as an actor and why you got interested in where you grew up.
Ooh, is that simple? My first show was actually Tommy, not 2 years ago with Jay, but when I was 5 years old, my older brother Noah got me into acting. He was going to Portage Central High School, and they were doing Tommy there, and they needed a four-year-old Tommy. So he suggested I do it, and I went in and met with the director, Kathy Mulay, in like a private audition, and all she told me to do was stare forward and not say anything, and I was really good at that. So she gave me the part, and so my first part was 5 years old in a high school production, and ever since then, I tried being in as many shows as I could. I did a summer camp that did two shows a summer. I auditioned for every show starting eighth grade through high school, and since high school, I've only been in two shows, but I plan on increasing that number a little bit after this.
At 4 years old, did you think you were the star?
I would like to say no, but I think the answer is yes.
You suspected it. All really the, was
yeah,
your
I was,
show.
I was the center of attention on and off stage, I feel like. Everybody adored me. And maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe I'm just completely off by that. But from memory, honestly, I can't even... Everybody, just whether I... when I was in the show, I would always get... I would actually get excited to go on stage instead of nervous, and most people found that really surprising. But all I would have to do is walk on stage, say, "Happy birthday, Mom," and walk off.
It's actually one of the really lovely things about working at the Civic Theater. This is like my ninth show at the Civic, and the Civic is such a family. Not working at the Civic, working with the staff there, working with their wonderful artistic director, Todd, but also the companies that come together, all the volunteers and all the people that work on the shows, everyone, not just the performers, but the follow spot operators and people helping with costume changes. Everyone is there because they love doing what they're doing.
For sure.
And Todd was watching the rehearsal last night, Todd Esplund, our artistic director of the Civic, and he was watching Alec, and he was like, "Who is that guy? Where'd he come from?" And I was like, "Todd, I actually met him here at the Civic in this building. That's where we met. He's not..." And one of the things for me, particularly coming from Western and working with my students here at Western, that working at the Civic is such a wonderful way to really get to know the whole community, the whole theater community here in Kalamazoo. And, you know, and it's such a treat for me to combine people from the community and people from outside town and then the students at Western into these really wonderful storytelling opportunities at the Civic and share it with audiences. And having Alec, who I've known now for, you know, a couple of years, working with Allie, who I've known for a couple of years, and yet they never knew each other until this show.
Are you attending Western too?
I am not, actually. I'm just working hours on hours on hours a week now.
are you planning on going to college for theater?
Yeah, it's somewhere in the plan for me. Right now I'm really just focusing on making money, but yeah, I would really, 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 really like to pursue performing in really any way.
Is your family a family of musicians or performers? Or you said your brother was in Tommy, so I'm wondering if you kind of all have the performing bug.
My dad performed when he was closer to my age. I don't think he's performed since, but my brother mainly performed throughout high school, which was obviously enough to get me interested to keep going.
Yeah.
But since then, I believe I might have like a cousin or something who's into it, but my immediate family is not so much interested in the performing aspect anymore. I'm really my sister actually in California is a big performer, but not in this way. She's like a musician.
Yeah.
So we at one point or another
that all counts.
Yeah. Right. Just, yeah. At one point or another, we all caught the bug.
Yeah. And what other shows have you been in that were kind of good resume shows?
Three years ago, maybe even more now. I was in Les Mis at the Civic. I was
yeah.
I was one of the students of the ABC. I loved that show. Tommy, 2 years ago, directed by Jay, was probably my favorite show to date. I was in Beauty and the Beast. I was in Phantom of the Opera in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, right. Quite the repertoire. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is all about growing that repertoire.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the last five shows have definitely helped me with that, especially getting having the opportunity to be a part of these big shows that a lot of people, even if they're not into theater or in the community per se, they would recognize.
All right. Well, let's get back to Sideshow, which is the name of this piece, and opens on Friday for two weekends, three weekends. This is a lot of opportunities to see the show. And I'm going to bring up something that doesn't speak well of me, being a shallow side. You know, Jay, you mentioned that the show kind of not flopped, but it didn't take off on Broadway. And I could just picture myself as a tourist hitting Broadway and opening up and looking at all the shows available, and to see one that's described as a show about two conjoined twins immediately creates a little bit of uneasiness. Part of me is awkward, you know. When I think about interacting with people who are really different, and I might have gone for Cats instead.
Cats is pretty different too.
and that's hard to admit, but it's also something I think I might share with other people out there. So let's talk about what makes Sideshow a great show that you can connect to and not be uneasy about.
Well, I think that there is a certain uneasiness that is part of the show, certainly at the beginning, and that's intentional. But what makes the show so appealing is really the great empathy that you'll feel for Daisy and Violet Hilton. And as pretty much as soon as you get to know them, really in the first scene where they're introduced to Terry and Buddy, and immediately you realize, oh, these are just girls. These just. And he's like, well, what do you want for your birthday? And they're like, we just want to be like everybody else. We just are girls. We're not a freak show. We're just two ordinary girls who have hopes and dreams. And all of a sudden, you kind of just takes that edge completely off kind of off the oddity of them as conjoined sisters, and you start seeing them as kind of two young girls who just want to be girls. And Lindsay and Allie are just so absolutely endearing in these roles that you can't watch the show, really. I can't watch the show without just, you know, wanting to care for them, wanting to protect them, wanting to root for them. And then the music is so incredibly accessible. The music just pulls you right in. It's a truly wonderful Broadway score. And I truly think that the intimacy of the space where we're doing the show is going to pull the audience completely into the story, because you feel like you're part of the story. You're watching it happen. It has that kind of slightly voyeuristic quality of being so close to their lives and to their, you know, their incredible achievements and their disappointments. And it's a wonderful intimate story about two young women on a journey. And ultimately, in the last few years, and I think starting when Beth Level was here, because she kept visiting Western and kept talking about how we as artists, our job is to be storytellers, ultimately, to take people on a journey. And this, I keep saying to the cast, this is truly one of the most engaging stories I've had the opportunity to direct. It's a story that people don't know, and it's a story that's true, and it's a story that makes you care, makes you happy, makes you sad, and it makes you fall in love with them. And I think that is exceptional to do in the theater.
The musical itself is now just over a century old, you might say. There was so-called golden age, probably from the 30s to this late 50s or something like that. Are we in another really incredible period.
Well, that's a whole other show for us, Kara. I think you and I are just going to have a... you and I will just be on the radio, and I'll bring like a whole bunch of different kinds of music, and we can talk about really what's happening on Broadway, because we are in a truly innovative time on Broadway right now. We'll see what happens to the arts in the United States in the next few years, but what's happening in terms of the commercial musical theater industry... and I was talking to my students the other day about this. This actually began a number of years ago. Now you're going to get my whole lecture. Sorry. this began a number of years ago with some stuff that really wasn't all that innovative, but was stuff that created a new audience. This began with two things. It began with High School Musical, the movies on TV with Zac Efron. And this whole series of Disney musicals starting with Little Mermaid. And what those things did were they created a whole new audience for musicals, so that there's this whole generation of people like Alec and Allie who were not necessarily were brought up with Oklahoma and older musicals, were actually brought up with all these musical film and television musicals. And then they said, well, you know, these are the same things you can see in the theater. And then a lot of those pieces, thanks to Disney, came to the theater. And now we have this new audience that's young and exciting and invigorated by theater. And now musicals are really growing and expanding. And we have musicals. We have musicals like Fun Home and Hamilton, and right now there's a huge hit show called The Great Comet of 1812. Oh, actually called Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, which is, you know, this kind of environmental musical, which actually has a set that looks a lot like our sideshow set. So right now the idea of what a Broadway musical could be, or what a musical in Kalamazoo could be, is growing in lots of different directions, because we have an audience, a young, invigorated audience, as well as a mature and kind of an audience that's been a part of musicals their whole lives, really looking to find new ways for musical theater to tell stories.
This is a piece that is important to see if you're interested in the new life of musicals.
I think so. And I think it's also a piece that's important to see if you want to be engaged on stage.
Nice. We are near the end of our hour here today. We have a couple songs left. We may have to skip one.
Well, I hate to skip Alec's number, but I think you should play "I Will Never Leave You," which is the big 11 o'clock finale number of Sisters.
You can always buy tickets for Friday.
You just come see the show. Yeah.
Again, that's at kazoocivic.com. And I just wanted to go with a round of final thoughts on anything we might have missed this hour, or that occurred to you that you didn't get a chance to say. And I'll start with you, Allie Rupert.
I don't know. I just think it's really important for people to come see this show, because I just know that me and Lindsay are doing something very special. As soon as we put our little shorts on and we become the sisters and we're connected, like, we really are being transported into their lives, and it's a really special story that we're telling, and I know that we feel really special about it, and we just want people to see it, so come see and experience it with us.
Okay. How about you, Alec?
Really, I think we've already said this, but I just want to emphasize it one more time. The space that we're doing the show does so much to the overall effect. If we were doing this on a like in the other Carver Center, is that the other main stage? I just feel like it wouldn't give the same feel that it would in such an intimate space. I love the Parish Theater. It's where we did Tommy, and I just love being kind of literally right in the audience's lap. foreshadowing. So yeah, the space just makes the show that much better. So please come see it. The show is going to be amazing.
Okay, Jay, when is your book coming out?
When is my book coming out? You know, you can take my class if you want, Kara. I teach music theater history every fall.
I think I love it. Yeah.
This has been such an exceptional season for me personally as a director here in Kalamazoo, both at Western and at the Civic. I'm doing three shows, three musicals that I've never done before, from completely different eras, starting with Showboat, of course, which was the grandfather of the great American musical written in 1926, to The Wiz, which starts rehearsal in 2 weeks, which, of course, is from the 1970s, to a contemporary musical like Sideshow. And it's I this season has been a real treat for me because I'm not relying on any of my old tricks. I'm completely reinventing these shows, and it's been an absolute treat. And this cast is just exceptional, both in terms of their talent, but more importantly, in terms of their heart. And that's what they share so much of on stage.
Well, finally, I'll ask Janet to say, give final details on the show, and if we missed anything, let us know.
I would just say you do not want to miss the Southwest Michigan premiere of this musical sideshow. Don't let the subject matter title dissuade you. You will want to see this, and it's at the Parish Theater, opening Friday for 3 weekends, and tickets 343-1313 or kazoocivic.com.
What have we done? Learned the truth, closed a door, opened more. I'm scared, Daisy, of what? Being alone, but you're not. You never have been. If we stood on our tiptoes, we could peek over.